Welcome to the Unks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're diving into wide receivers here and the exposure reports. Some thoughts here, just generally on strategy-wise. We're playing lean and mean at wide receiver, right? We're looking for productive profiles. We're thinking about, generally speaking, wide receiver, elite wide receiver is a rich team problem, right? That's where you go and store roster value. That's where you go to consolidate a really good team. I think one of the keys, if there's a key to AOD sort of team building guide strategy, right? If there's sort of a key takeaway that I've used, it's that, you can replicate, whether it's in the aggregate or replicate with less costly wide receivers. You can sort of pull even with the league at wide receiver if you're willing to take cheaper options that are more productive than their price. Typically, those are going to be older guys, right? One of the things that we did a lot last year, and I'm going to do again this year, is thinking about, you look at our RDP and Dynasty, and you compare that to RDP or ADP and some of your best ball stuff and some of your redraft stuff, and you use that information as a pretty valuable differentiator, right? When guys are overvalued in Dynasty, which means they're more valuable in Dynasty than they are in redraft, that means there's some storage of value there, and you got to be really confident in how much you believe that that value is actually stored. One of the things that we see is there's a pretty strong correlation between production and the following season's ADP, right? It explains about half of it, right? It's not everything, but that's a pretty good predictor. And so if you are rostering unproductive guys, especially non-rookies, that are highly valued, and you have, they were non-productive last year and they're still highly valued, you can be really honest with yourself about how long you think that's going to last. Right, and so that's the one of the keys with the wide receiver position. While people like to store value in it, it can erode really quickly. So that's one of the things that I'm a little cautious of. And then you sort of look down the line, and can you replicate, for example, the difference between a guy like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett is almost entirely age. Lockett has been as productive, if not more productive, through DK Metcalf's entire career. And Lockett has always traded a dozen plus spots. It's two or three dozen at this point spots later in ADP than Metcalf is. And you have to really ask yourself, why am I paying that premium? Well, typically you're paying the premium because it's a more insulated, asset, right? It's more insulated in terms of the market. Well, if you're going to have to look for a place to borrow, that's a really good place to borrow to pay for other positions, right? To upgrade at quarterback, or to upgrade at tight end in your premium formats and those sorts of things, right? So one of the things you'll see here is it's not a particularly sexy looking wide receiver core. It's pretty narrow. There's not a ton of them, honestly. And there are a lot of cheaper guys with established track records, right? Guys with multiple hits on their resume, mid to late 20s. Even if they get into their early 30s, again, assuming big target workloads, that's a good place to be. I do think, as I was putting together some of the tier stuff for the receiver position, I finished that as I'm recording this today, and I'll be recording some podcasts on it coming up. But I've already sort of started to identify some of the potential arbitrage stuff, right? We look at profiles. I kind of split it between guys that are above 28 and under 28, and then you kind of split it up between hits, and you sort of get an idea there of what profiles look the same or what profiles look similar, and why are they trading significantly differently. So I think using a lot of that stuff, a lot of those principles at the wide receiver position, you have to be very, you can be very savvy, right? And you can be sort of willing to let other people take really confident bets at wide receiver when you can take really, established bets on guys that might not necessarily have the same value upside, right? They're not going to be top 10 wide receivers from a trade value perspective, but they're going to replicate it in the aggregate. They'll replicate the point scoring, especially if you're going to play kind of a narrow core of wide receivers from week to week, right? So that's a lot of the strategy here. And again, this will reflect that, right? These receivers will reflect that. And I'll have a couple of thoughts here in a minute as well on some additional strategies that I'm going to employ this year as well, especially early on in the offseason. So Chris Moore is the most rostered guy, which is kind of amazing. 47%, almost up to 50%. So it was just stashing him, playing him a bunch down the stretch when he was, you know, producing my top 20 wide receiver weeks. It was great. He became part of, you know, one of the guys that could really, I could put in my lineup and trust. And it was one of those things where, yeah, him and Isaiah Hodges, right? If you're thinking about the receiver position, you know, it's, we tend to be, have a hard time streaming that position on 1 week, 2 week, you know, spot start type deals. But there are stories like Chris Moore and Isaiah Hodges every year that can, from deep, you know, for a month, provide you top 25 wide receiver value. And again, that's typically target related, right? You have to look for guys. They're not usually that sexy, but they are getting targets, which is kind of what Chris Moore and Isaiah Hodges were doing this year. So again, that's a place to look for, and one of the reasons why I don't get too carried away with having a ton of elite wide receivers. Because I think you can, again, you can replicate it in the aggregate, at least replicate kind of like a league neutral. You cannot lose the league at wide receiver, and especially in tight end premium formats, you can really run it up on the rest of the league when that is the case. So Chris Moore, a lot there. That will probably come down, I'm sure. Brandon Cooks, 33%. He's number two. Again, I'll see where he ends up this offseason. You know, if it's like a wide receiver two spot, you know, does he get cut? You know, what's that contract look like and all that stuff? Does he get traded? I think he could be a pretty good number two for a team. You know, think about a team like Chicago, for example, that's going to have some cap space and need some receivers. They could be in on a guy like Brandon Cooks, that veteran type that, you know, and maybe they draft somebody and ultimately he could sort of masquerade as a one this year, right? I think that's a plausible outcome still for Brandon Cooks. And I think that it's one of those things too, where he's going to probably outproduce what the market's expectation of him is, right? He's almost a sure bet to be more valuable in redraft than he is in dynasty. Amari Cooper's next up. And then it's Mike Evans, both at 30%. So it'll be interesting though, because Amari Cooper is one of those guys where I'm looking at some early RDP stuff. I'm looking at some early tier arbitrage and, you know, going way down the board from, you know, Devontae Adams types to a guy like Amari Cooper. You're sort of staying the same age. You're getting a little bit less ceiling. But if you can get, like, real assets in a deal like that, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know how capable I am of going to be doing that because I have a lot of Amari Cooper as it is. So I'm going to have to flesh that out a bit here as we go along. Same with Mike Evans. Again, I'd like to see where Mike Evans lands in free agency, but he's one of those ones where, you know, if we kind of like the next couple of years, do we, you know, really want to take a lot more? Do we really want to pay a lot more for a guy like Devontae Adams when they're similarly situated age-wise, right? That's a concern you have to, you know, keep in the back of your mind. Jarvis Landry is at 27%. I'm sure that will go down. Lockett's at 27%. Feel good about that one. Mac Hollins is at 27%. Again, there's a situation, right? You look at a couple of situations that we really hit on this year for, again, I'm not trying to win the league at wide receiver because it's really expensive to try and do that. I'm trying to not lose it. And Mac Hollins is never going to be a high level trade player, right? He's never going to draw a lot of trade. He hasn't hit early in his career. And again, the odds that he produces like a top 24 seasonal finish is pretty remote at this point, you know, from a base rate perspective. However, running a ton of routes in an offense that, you know, didn't have a lot outside of Devontae Adams at that point, right, midseason, with Waller out and with Hunter Renfrow out. In terms of the passing game, there wasn't a lot there. So it was really consolidated into a couple of guys, it being him and Devontae Adams, and, you know, then it was, of course, Josh Jacobs and stuff out of the backfield. But there weren't a ton of great options in that passing game. And what you saw is there was some consolidation into Mac Hollins. You saw some peak weeks, right? I think that's one of those situations. Again, we saw that early on in the season as well with a guy like Noah Brown, right? I think continuing to be mindful of those type of situations is something we'll have to look for. So it wasn't something I typically look for coming into this year, but that's something that I definitely learned from this year and we'll use going forward. It's actually trade Keenan Allen speculation week on the interwebs. So that's notable there. 23% for him. He can still play. His top 12 wide receiver down the stretch once he got back from injury this year. So can really make a difference. Again, I think he's going to be dirt cheap, and I'm interested in him. Again, you know, you're looking to recreate production. He's a good way to do it. Again, he can hit for a, you know, maybe he's banged up a couple of games here and there as he sort of ages. I get that. But he still showed that he can play down the stretch of the season. And, you know, from a year-to-year perspective, you keep playing that and then backfill your roster. Rashid Shaheed as well is at 23%. Pretty interesting yards per route run candidate. Again, small sample size, but I'm open to seeing what happens there with New Orleans. You know, Michael Thomas is no sure bet. We'll get to him in a minute. Olave was excellent, but they've got, you know, Landry is they didn't get much from him this year. And you have a guy like Shaheed where, you know, if they go into this season and it's like Olave, it's Thomas, and, you know, maybe they move on from Landry, they figure that situation out. Shaheed could be one of those beneficiaries of, hey, if there's an injury, almost the way that, like, Gabe Davis was a second-year guy and kind of benefited from some erosion around him. Rashid Shaheed sort of fits a little bit of that. Again, he was better on a yard-per-route run basis. He was elite this year. It's a small sample. So he's a guy I'm definitely keeping an eye on. A lot of times I cut some of these guys, and, you know, I'm sure, for example, Chris Moore is going to be a guy I cut a bunch of. Shaheed's one I'm going to probably hang on to. Adam Thielen at 20%. Again, he's a guy that I added in a couple spots down the stretch because I needed to fix out some wide receiver stuff. He was, like, available for a third, and I'm like, yep, I'm in. Again, he's probably – his days are probably numbered in terms of, like, top 20 finishes. But, you know, as he sort of placekeeper in a lineup here, as you sort of figure it out, you know, for the first month of the season, first couple months of the season, yeah, that would sort of be what I'd project. Again, we'll see what the quarterback situation is. That's one of the big things to worry about there. But he's dirt cheap at this point, so you kind of have to just, you know, appreciate that for what it is at this point. Adams is at 16%. So is Michael Thomas. So is Hopkins. You know, Adams, we'll see with a new quarterback. Thomas is a total reclamation project at this point. Again, he's like, these guys are in their 30s now. Like, it's crazy. They're right around 30. You know, they're that age of receivers aging quickly. And Michael Thomas, when you look down and you see, like, wow, that went really fast. Like, yeah, like, it wasn't that long ago that he was, like, the wide receiver one, a dominant wide receiver one, and he's not that anymore. So we'll see. Hopefully he can provide some value here. But I could see myself going down a lot in terms of his ownership this year. Hopkins, again, he's a potential trade candidate, so we'll watch him. Corey Davis is at 13%. He's kind of just, again, he's just kind of like a depth flyer, streamer type guy at this point. DJ Moore, 10%. I'm interested in buying DJ Moore this offseason. Some of the value, like, he, again, was right on that wide receiver 2-3 range in terms of season-long points. And I talked about this a bit. They ran the ball so much, so much this past year that they actually dragged above average yards per attempt and above average yards per carry down to being an actual below average offense. It's very difficult to do that, but they managed that trick. So, again, I think Frank Wright's smart enough to say, hey, I'm not going to just, you know, shoot myself directly in the foot offensively, and I'm going to sort of optimize my play calling stuff. So I could see them going from being, you know, negative 10% passing expectation team to, you know, plus 5%, something like that. That's a huge volume difference for a guy like DJ Moore. So he's one that I like from deeper. Deontay Johnson's along that lines as well, although I don't have much of him. He's going to be an offseason target for me. Some other guys in this range, again, there's a bunch of guys in sort of the 10% range. Juju, MVS, Allen Robinson is in that range. Wolfler is at 6%, so Sky Moore, Calvin Ridley. Terry McLaurin, I'd be interested in exploring his value this offseason. He's a potential buy low, I think. Tyreek Hill is at that 6% as well, so call that like 1X. Christian Watson's in there, Cooper Kupp, Diggs, all those guys are sort of down in there. as well. Sutton, right, is a, this is more of a blend in there than there has typically been for me from year to year. I will say that. Some guys that are down sort of in the 3% range, right, there's a bunch of guys, right? There's 15, 20 of those guys. Again, Deontay Johnson's one I'm definitely going to be looking to add here going forward. So that's really the look of it. Again, now I think as you look kind of forward in terms of thinking about some, you know, how do you backfill the position, right? I did the fix it series in the book. You know, I really like sort of, is it trading down? Is it, you know, taking 2-for-1 shots in rookie drafts, right? I like those ideas. You know, moving down in rookie drafts to select wide receivers is always a good one. Never trade up for a wide receiver in a rookie draft is like a core trading principle for us. You know, taking some selective shots, right? Taking, you know, when Christian Watson falls to 50th, you know, wide receiver 50 and start up ADP in like March when he's getting some first round buzz, like do that, right? Like, so I think when all the other wide receivers are going in the 20s that are projected to be first round wide receivers, like take some really informed bets. One of the other things too, I think that you can really think about if you're sort of going down the stretch, again, it's not for everyone, right? You start looking at the thing and you're like, oh man, like if I had to go to like a dynasty writers convention, like they would rescind my dynasty writer card because of some of the wide receiver rooms that I've put together, but they're very effective teams. And one of the concerns that people typically have is, oh, well, that doesn't maintain long-term. Well, I mean, if I'm not trying to go from Tyler Lockett to Justin Jefferson or Tyler Lockett to, you know, CeeDee Lamb, like it's a lot cheaper, right? Like I can continue to sort of, you know, recycle down at the, you know, in the mid range, the position, aggregate it and make it passable. I'm not trying to play catch up at value unless, you know, I've got an absolutely elite team, right? So that's one of the things that I think about too, right? I'm not going to pressure myself into making a huge trade to, you know, cash in a whole bunch of chips to go up at wide receiver because that's not typically the most efficient thing for us to do. And so that's one of the things I don't really worry about keeping up with others at wide receiver because of that, right? What you're trying to keep up with is the value game, where when you do that, what I'm trying to do is keep up with the production game, which I think we can do, especially in premium formats for other positions, right? Superflex and tight end premium in particular. You know, if you're playing stock one PPR, you know, I was just talking to someone this week about, you know, as a stock one PPR, I think it was start 8 maybe, like 2 wide receivers, couple of flex, I think, quarterback at a tight end, right? Like you have to sort of pay it up at wide receiver because that's how you – there's only 8 spots to start, right? You have to consolidate chips, right? You have to, you can't, you know, it's really hard to sort of roster a guy like Jerry Jeudy as, you know, even if you're sort of taking a depressed bet on him, right? Paying 80 cents in the dollar because he's not going to move the needle. And if he's going to be like a top 25 asset, you know, can you move him and a couple of other types of players in that range for a top 8 guy, right? Like that's the stuff you constantly have to be doing in those formats because, right, like you have to sort of consolidate up somewhere. You need stars to win, right? You have to sort of, when wide receiver is the premium position in a format, that's where you have to go, right? But in some super flex stuff and some, and especially when you're playing tight end premium, that becomes lesser of a goal because you can really run up the score in other ways. So that's one of the things. Again, and then I constantly thinking about like backfilling, you know, like taking some, like Juju was like almost available for free. Again, he wasn't great, but he was perfectly fine in terms of like, all right, if I put him in there, it's kind of like wide receiver 3 type production, right? He's not going to kill me. I thought I had some ceiling options with him. It didn't pan out, but I'm fine, right, with him in the lineup. It was fine. And so, like, I think as you sort of look at those, that's really the, sort of prioritizing different things can make you, can allow you to explore some things that other dynasty teams and other dynasty GMs won't prioritize. So that's really the stuff I think about with the wide receiver position. Again, constantly sort of backfilling, right? You know, look at that, the fix it chapter, for example, if you're thinking about how to sort of address some of these issues. I think it was really helpful. And I threw some actual trades in there as well to help out in that process. So, yeah, that'll pretty much do it here for this one. Again, I think lean and mean at receiver for sure. And then constantly trying to take, you know, depressed value shots where you can get the opportunity, whether it's guys you maybe are going to go higher in the NFL draft than you think right now, right? If you're going to take those in startup drafts, I think that makes some sense. Christian Watson was the example last year. And then, you know, in rookie drafts, can you sort of slide down and get a functional player and take a rookie, right? Kind of do that 2-for-1 deal instead of just taking one rookie, right? Those types of deals aren't super sexy, but super efficient over the long term. So that'll do it here for this edition. All right. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.